What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast.
We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smarks and Stripes Raw Reaction. That's right, you're going to get our flagship show. We will have a full WrestleMania weekend reaction show with the full crew later this week. But we thought it was a good idea to have Turtle and I kind of just react to Raws, give you the rundown so we're not bogged down in storyline when we have Kevin around. And what better time to do it than basically WWE's opening day? It's the Raw after WrestleMania is the big one, but before we get into it, we have to react to WrestleMania a little.
Like I said,
we're going to have the full reaction show later this week, but Turtle, give me like your one takeaway from the Showcase of the Immortals.
I don't want to use the word botched, but it's hard to go out on such a high note, getting exactly what I wanted to happen, on such an awful, awful finish.
It was such a shame it went really the way it went. And in case you were wondering, like, oh, is this going to be somehow they're going to bring Ronda back with this? The finish wasn't mentioned at all last night. They did not mention the controversial ending. It was just Becky with her two titles. They've apparently moved on to some Lacey Evans stuff. We'll get into that. But yeah, if you were thought, oh, this is just a way to keep Ronda strong, she didn't actually lose. No, they didn't say that at all on the show.
And so I originally missed it at first. I was just caught up in the moment. Super excited. Becky won. Yeah. So I go right to Twitter. I see all the half shoulder up. The ref started the count a beat too early, whatever. Yeah. I searched again today.
This will be fun to get Kevin's reaction on as a former official, too.
Because the ref's got to know, like, that's clearly not the finish.
But if they said we're going home, like, his job there is to count to three. The shoulders weren't down, but it's...
So I looked again today, and anything WWE or real wrestling Twitter is showing is that, well, all her shoulders were down. They're not showing that frame before where her shoulder was up. So they clearly don't even want to mention the botch anymore.
There was a lot of good stuff on WrestleMania. It was 7.5 hours long with the pre-show. I watched the pre-show, and honestly, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I had the pre-show on. It wasn't too bad. No, it was better than I expected,
for
sure.
It really wasn't all that bad, but I will say, like, some good matches, a lot of good stuff in there. When Basic Thugonomics hit, I popped like I was a kid. I was so happy to see old school Cena. They show that Babe Ruth video. I'm like, where the hell's this going? And then he comes out in the old stuff. Because I loved that Cena.
That's
the Cena I was all about.
That's the key. I did love that Cena. It was my favorite Cena. It was the non-cookie cutter Cena that was going to say whatever the hell he wants and make you laugh while doing it. But all this was to me, and similar to Elias, and similar to a lot of what we'll get to in Raw, was just really shoehorning John Cena in there when he had no point to be there. Like, great. Woohoo. AAFU. Like,
yeah, he said FU. Yeah, he came out and rapped. That was it. It was Cena rapping. Yeah. It was the same thing as Hogan coming out.
Which
here's
also
some nostalgia.
Bothered the hell out of me. I can make some great things happen. If you're going to give me some great, don't give me the old racist guy who's trying to make men.
That's like, I get like why you would cheer if you're at a show and you didn't think Hogan was going to be there and then you heard his music. But I'm just over it. I don't need to see Hulk Hogan anymore.
I will always cheer for the music because it reminds me of when I first got into wrestling. But knowing what I know about him now, knowing what I know about how he treats other humans on this planet, I'm over it. I really am.
I've seen enough of Hulk Hogan. That's the thing. He hasn't ever actually gone away.
I've seen enough of John Cena, too.
I'd seen enough of Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Like, that was an awesome moment against The Rock and everything. But after that, all right, I'm good.
I was really hoping, and I don't know why. Maybe I've seen enough of him, too. But I was really hoping that instead of Elias doing his nonsense, it would have been interrupted by The Rock, as you alluded to, and he would do his guitar nonsense.
I thought there was a possibility of some of that. Other than that, if they had planned the Kofi thing, that could have gone on last.
Yeah.
It happens so late in the game because it only happens, and they mentioned it, because of a Mustafa Ali injury. It happened so organically, and the crowd was so into it. And maybe, you know, at the end of a 7.5-hour show, there's no way to get the crowd as into it as they were during the Kofi segment. But
it's just brutal, 7.5 hours.
It's so long. But if that had happened a month earlier, if they'd started the Kofi thing a month earlier, it would have a real case to go on last. Absolutely. The women absolutely deserved it, especially Becky Charlotte. That was the story of last year in WWE. But
and
Kofi
it was
Bryan,
a great match. It just happened to end... on an awful, awful note. And maybe that was because Ronda supposedly broke her hand. I don't know, but...
Yeah, we'll see.
Clearly, the finish we wanted, that submitting Ronda Rousey, did not happen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of back and forth on, you know, it was at one point supposed to be a submission and all this, but it ends on, you know, like a crucifix backslide kind of move, and it was...
Which was just out of the blue.
All right, okay. I guess this is how we're going to go with it. But like I said, we'll have the full WrestleMania reaction show later this week.
And it will be 7 hours?
And it will, I think, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to break down the pre-show spot for spot and go from there. Let's start with Raw. Let's start with the Raw, what was I thought was going to be the main event. We're not going to go in order because that would just get tedious.
Exactly.
They come out to start the show. Seth is out there. Hey, I beat Brock. There's a fighting champion here. Yes, what you all wanted. Kofi Kingston and The New Day come out. Kofi issues a winner-take-all challenge. Said the women's match last night, that was cool. Let's do that, too. Now, this was not pre-advertised, so I don't have as much sympathy for the live crowd. But when you build a three-hour show from the first segment on, hey, these two baby faces who went over last night...
are going to fight.
They're going to fight, and you're going to get a definitive champ. Now, if you watch enough wrestling, you were like... really, this is not going to happen.
So now that was my biggest fear going into that match. At first, I popped. New Day came out.
Yeah.
I was excited. I'm all for Kofi Mania. It's great. And I go, all right. I think we might have spoke about it on our last pod, and I definitely tweeted about it in general. My biggest fear was he was going to last 24 or 48 hours.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, by the way, it still could happen, but I hope doesn't.
Yeah,
There's a whole show tonight. And he was going to last 48 hours, and that was going to be that. They're going to move right on to whoever is champion and go from there for SummerSlam and all that. So I was like, crap. It's going to be over. Seth is going to be double champion. I like Seth, so I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine. But it's just like, we got these... It was such a babyface-friendly event at WrestleMania. I was like, oh, they went 3 for 3. We got all
stunned.
Three of the endings that we wanted to get, regardless of how it actually happened. But we got all three of the endings we wanted to get, beginning, middle, and end. Oh, yeah, they're going to take the title off one of these guys now? Of course. But, you know, it doesn't happen. The Bar comes out. And I guess you try to explain it away with, oh, the Bar, they're rivals with the New Day. But why?
Woohoo. And then, of course, random tag match sort of afterwards.
Obvious, yeah.
It ruined what could have been a very solid full-length match.
If I'm in that crowd, like I said, because it's not pre-advertised, no one bought tickets thinking we're going to see Seth versus Kofi for the titles. But it's a cool thing. And we started to talk about it last week when they introduced the winner-take-all. There's going to be some sort of condensing of the titles, it looks like. And
they announced, the Superstar Shakeup is next week.
Yeah, so there's going to be some sort of resolution to being, you know, Becky being both champs, and we've already kind of put it in your heads that we're going to combine these titles. And, I mean, the tag titles need to be freaking combined.
Well, there's no division. There is no tag team division.
Absolutely no damn reason to have two separate tag titles when there's, like, four teams who were even watchable at this point.
And one of them, by the way, is not Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. I like their little win.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I really thought, like, going back to Zack Ryder's Intercontinental title win, I think it was at Mania a few years ago, and then they took it off him the next
instantly,
night.
Yep.
I thought that was going to happen with either him and Hawkins or with, you know, the main event.
Definitely.
With the Bar, because I'm always, like, hesitant to react to something right away, because it's always about what's next. It's a 365 business. If they tell a great story about this on Tuesday or next week, I'll accept it. Say, I don't know, the bar become part of a new corporation, and we go in that direction.
At least it's something.
It's something, right?
It'd be a reason to do it, and they made it a point to say, there's no more general managers, no more whatever, which, again, we'll get to the superstar shakeup when it comes to that point. But I don't even know how they're about to draft people if there's no
who's gonna make
leadership.
Who makes the picks? Like,
is it who wins the match goes to where they want to go and the other one gets stuck on the lesser brand?
I would like I think a captain system would be cool. Get the champions from each show, but then Becky is a double champ.
Yeah, so she gets to pick both.
She gets to pick for both.
Put all her friends on the opposite brand and people she can run over on one brand. I don't know.
This will be an interesting show next week when they explain it all to us.
Absolutely.
So I guess my surprise of the night, because it's the Raw after WrestleMania. It's its own hashtag. It's its own thing. If WrestleMania is the Super Bowl, the next night, that's the banner unveiling. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, here are our champs. Another quick thing, I really liked how Kofi had the shirts already done. Like, that was straight up like, oh, you won the Super Bowl and you're in your shirt. Like, I thought that was really
cool
touch.
Very cool.
And people were complaining that they were up on the shop early and it gave away the end, but Daniel Bryan's and still champ was up there too. So you could
they
you
will
could
sell
order
every
both.
Shirt
oh, yeah, exactly.
every second of every day. No, I don't
also,
me
why are you on WWEshop.com during WrestleMania? I get it. They have the BOGO for a buck shirt, but the BOGO for a buck deal, I'm on there too. If I buy another wrestling shirt, Ava might move out. So.
She might.
I have more stuff than she does.
As you come in with your Kevin Owens shirt today.
I saw someone with the shirt at a Phillies game. I was like, hey, buddy, NXT. But yeah, but like I was saying, the Raw after WrestleMania is a night known for surprises. Now, we get the Elias thing with Cena at WrestleMania, and I thought it was a really cool moment. But then he comes out and does his own little John Cena style freestyle, and it ends with the next person who interrupts me is a dead man. Gong!
I knew it instantly, and I'm very torn here because we spoke a few minutes ago about people that need to go away, and Undertaker is absolutely on that list. That being said, if somebody's going to offer me millions of dollars to do whatever I want into my late 60s, 70s, and 80s, I'm going to take that money. But beside the point, I still popped when he came out.
Yeah.
Great, he's going to do a thing in Saudi Arabia, whatever big, huge, super-duper show they're doing next. But just go away, dude.
I never need to see him work another match. But the one thing I'll say is the difference between Hogan, who I'm just good on, and Cena, I was happy to see the Thuganomics come back for a night just because I didn't think I'd ever see him be that guy again, wearing throwbacks, wearing a hat, saying things that aren't TV PG. I never thought I'd see that again. Undertaker to me is a little different because he's not a man. He is his character is it's the phenom. He is a myth. He is that character. That said, bro, you got to pull them straps up or something. I do not need to see your 90-year-old man bare chest. Looks too old.
The hat got knocked off during the choke slam. It's a massive, widow's peak is what it's called. Like, I get
and,
like, it.
I thought he was going in the right direction when he went with the shaved head, because that's what, like, you look at Michaels, you look at Hunter, and it's like, all right, it's over for us. We're no longer 25-year-old long-haired dudes.
I'm a 33-year-old no-haired dude, too, so I get it. I understand the bald thing. But if you're going to be the guy, just...
You can't lose the hat.
Don't lose the hat, or get the transplant, get the hair transplant.
Yeah, talk to Dr. Glad. I hear he does great work.
John Marks here will tell you Dr. Glad's great. Just it just makes him look even older and less threatening, and he can barely move.
I was happy for it until he took off the jacket, and I was like, oh, you have the straps down, huh? Dude, it's not even like he's got man tits. It's just straight up, like, sunken old chest.
I love
the Undertaker.
You're
not the legend to me. You actually are a man now.
I told you in our first episode when you asked me why I got into wrestling that Undertaker was my guy. Undertaker was the dude. Just go away.
And that entrance,
please.
That's the thing, is that entrance will always do it.
Yes.
When the gong hits and the lights go out, I'm like, all right, here we go.
It takes him three times as long to walk down the ramp.
And there's no druids, so it's not like as much mysticism and stuff going on. You're just like,
his last, I want to say his last real raw appearance before this whole Saudi Arabia, Australia, super joke nonsense was in Philly. It was billed that way. And he did the whole come up from under the ring. So I had good enough seats, thankfully to hear. But I saw how it really happens. I'm not going to give it away. But just watching him climb and move around like he couldn't anymore really soured me on
him. That was, for the last Raw in Philly, I had seats right on like the stage left side, so right where Aleister Black does his entrance.
Okay,
it's a cool entrance, and I'm really happy that they have elaborate entrances and characters for people, because my biggest issue is the whole show is guys in tights pretending to fight.
Right.
Like, I need some character and stuff. But then seeing at the last minute they're setting it all up, Aleister just kind of sprint over there and lay down right before the thing starts to come up.
Away from it.
Like, oh, that's, I didn't want to see him not, like, he's him right there. He's not Aleister Black.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I get you.
Surprise of the night. That
for
was
sure.
It. That was it right there. I guess another surprise, we get Kurt Angle. We were already told his last appearance was going to be last time, and then the last week before Raw was his last appearance ever, and no, it wasn't. Here he comes, and I'm fine. You know, you get your little swan song. The people there were happy to see him, and he gets his comeback on
Corbin.
Corbin still gets to say, I beat Angle, and hopefully that propels him to something, but, you know, Angle gets the payback. He locks him in the ankle lock. And then Lars Sullivan comes out.
We
finally get the big Lars Sullivan debut. And Lars Sullivan was Braun Strowman in NXT. It was that was my whole thing. There's a place for these giants who come out and do the squashes, and you can do different things with them. But you already have a Braun Strowman
who you've misused,
and it's already been ruined. That's like, you had a guy who was so over 2 years ago. He's flipping over Roman Reigns and ambulances and Mack trucks and God knows, like, eating the whole set, whatever, and now it's like
he's on the pre-show.
He's on the pre-show feuding with the cast of SNL. That's what Braun Strowman's up to.
I'm over the big man in WWE. I'm over the monster guy, because you have ruined that person.
And that's the thing. Vince, we know, loves the giants. He loves the anomalies. You see him walking through the airport, and you go, he must be somebody. And I get it, but like, do they draw?
Not anymore.
Not the way you book them.
No.
Like, yes, Andre the Giant. Absolutely. Yokozuna. Sure thing.
But guess what? Like you said, they booked them well.
Yeah, Psycho Sid. You put him at the end of a WrestleMania with Hulk Hogan. So these guys were something. Big Show? Like Braun, once Braun had to sell for Finn Balor, I was like, that's it. Finn Balor's could compete at 205 Live. He's a nice athlete and everything. But to get over on Braun Strowman's silly. And you see the way it goes.
It's all silly like that.
Like
though.
Mark Henry. Mark Henry was a nice role player. Was he a star? No. I don't know. Like, I guess Big Show during the Mayweather and Akebono era.
Yeah, that's fine.
When he's an act and not a super. Like,
that's,
he's not
the key.
In there with other wrestlers.
They're
he's
using Braun now as an act. They're going to use Lars Sullivan as an act. It's going to be a thing. I think I tweeted this out last night, and maybe I don't know who I talked to about it. I love that WWE doesn't change titles every other day. I get it. I know you have to build the momentum and you have to build a story. But I also dislike that WWE doesn't change titles every day. Braun Strowman should have been Universal Champion.
Yeah.
And not that he needed it. He should have been. Just the way you built that story. And now he's literally on the pre-show flipping over cars, dealing with SNL morons who don't even know who the hell they are. Like, I don't care about Braun Strowman anymore. I've lost the, ooh, here he comes to rescue the day.
Yeah, a guy I finally thought, like, okay, here's a big man I can get behind because he can do some other things. He's pretty entertaining. I like the whole, I'm going to use a grappling hook and tear down the set of Raw. All right, awesome.
And that was cool.
Yeah, and that was awesome when he was doing it with Roman Reigns.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, this is just something you do. You tear apart a Ferrari because it's fun. Like, all right, I like that you can do it, but
They have a problem with focusing on certain people way, 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 way too long. And I get it. You have to build a story. You can't. It's not a three-team series or three-game series with the Phillies like the Nationals is today. It's not that. You don't have a short amount of time, so I understand. But you don't build somebody up to their highest of highs to put them on the pre-show in 5 months.
And that's the way Braun lost his number one contendership for the Rumble when Finn was inserted into the Rumble match with Brock. Imagine, okay, you want to get over the evil McMahon character, that's fine. Braun Strowman is someone who the office is working against, okay. Imagine if Vince McMahon was just like, hey, Stone Cold, you're out of the match. And then he didn't attack him. He just stood there, got berated by him, and moved on and never did anything about it. Because that's what happened to Braun. You totally just neutered him. That was the end right there. And I just, Lars Sullivan, to me, isn't close to Braun Strowman.
No, I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he'll get five squash matches in a row versus Curt Hawkins again or something. It'll be fine. But
For a guy, the potential of the big men and the way they're booked, I'm already conditioned to be like, this is going to be a thing for 6 weeks. It'll be
over instantly.
Yeah. So something I was happy to see that I kind of thought they ruined the big pop for Sami Zayn by showing him before they went to commercial. Yep. I thought that was poorly planned.
Oh, very poorly planned.
The night after Mania, you have the music hit and people go, oh, we haven't seen Sami Zayn in forever. And you show him going to commercial. I thought kind of took away from that a little.
A little bit. I would agree with you.
But he comes out and does his, I'm just like, oh, I like Sami Zayn, but I just sit there and watch him and go, this friggin' goof.
it comes off as so forced with him being heel, I think.
I loved it when after the match he went heel. Yeah. I was like, okay, good. You're actually talking and saying, like, you're not just, oh, happy to be here. Sammy Zayn, morning
zoo
voice.
And that's why I've disliked his character so much. I don't want him to be the goofy Sami Zayn, as you put it, but it comes off as so struggle and forced.
I thought what he did last night was his best mic work
probably
in his entire run with the company.
I mean, the Sea in Hell ending was the best.
I thought he killed him. And Finn had a nice match. Finn beating at the night before,
beating Lashley. Yeah.
Would have been a cool moment if they hadn't already exchanged. Like, you were talking about how they don't move titles, and that's a good thing. If Lashley had just been champ, and Finn beats him and overcomes it all at Mania.
Finally needs the demon guy to help him.
But you already beat him as yourself. I guess you beat him. You beat Leo Rush, I guess. But
regardless, you already took the title from him as yourself.
It just wasn't as big of a moment because you already took the title off of him. Good for Finn. He's not my favorite on the roster.
He's fine. He's talented.
Yeah, someone proposed. I read this on Twitter. I'm stealing it from someone. But someone proposed the idea. Imagine if they had a WWE Network champ who just showed up to every brand and would just have a match. That would be the best spot for Finn Balor. Yeah. If you saw him at the last UK special, show up and get the huge pop and come in and have a great match. Like, that's a perfect spot for Balor because the internet people still love him. I'm kind of out on Balor. I like him as the demon. I wish he was just painted face guy.
But there's two problems with him, and we'll make this short. I know we have to get to a few other things. There's two problems. His generic character is Guy. Yeah. Which is boring as all
ordinary
hell.
Guy. Oh, cool.
And his demon character is still just ordinary guy with face paint on.
At least with the face paint, it's something. I'm not looking at a guy. I'm like, I'm bigger than you. Because that's when I look at Finn Balor, and he's cut to shit. Like, he could lift me up over his head, no problem.
Oh, by far.
But in the ring with other superstars, He's just a guy. I'm like, I'm bigger than you, dude. Like, that's what I'm looking at here. And
I almost
with the face paint and everything, it gives him a character other than ordinary guy who can do a bunch of kicks.
And that's the key. Like, this doesn't happen in WWE, so maybe this is just being me being dumb. I wish his moveset would change with the demon. Like, great. Coup de grace. Woo. Double stomp again. Like, I get it.
They really put over the fact that he was able to powerbomb Lashley. And they were like, ordinary Finn couldn't have done that. The demon can powerbomb Lashley.
Woo!
Like, Lashley's a body guy, but I wouldn't say, like, he didn't powerbomb Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Like, that's him, you know?
And
Seth
by the
Rollins
way,
powerbombs people all the time.
As we know with much moves in this company, it's not just one person doing it. There's a jump.
Sure,
there's a leverage. Like, but
it's suspension of disbelief. And like, no matter what, when I see Cena FU the Big Show, I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Because
I know he can squat 500 pounds. I'm not an imbecile. But like, it's still a feat. Lashley isn't that sort of monster to me. Yes,
100%.
He's incredibly strong, but it's not like he's 7 foot, 500 pounds.
Exactly.
But that's what they tried to get over with the demon. Oh, Finn Balor couldn't do that, but the demon can. Okay.
And then back to Finn Balor with the jacket ordinary guy again.
Yeah, and then we're right back there and he beats Sami Zayn. And I liked Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I don't mind Sami as a guy too, but he needs to not force it as much.
So the Lacey Evans, Becky Lynch stuff. Lacey finally paid off for me. All of her coming down and this whole time I've been like, this is just a waste of time.
It's still a waste of time.
And then doing it to Becky gave it a reason. Now she automatically, Becky is, Rhonda's going away. There's no reported timetable for her return. Move Becky away from Charlotte because too much of a good thing. You don't do Stone Cold and The Rock year round. You get to it at the big shows. And that's fine with me. So you got to move on. Where do you go? She's double champ. Which show is she going to be on first? All right, now she automatically has a feud, and Lacey Evans matters to me. Lacey Evans landed a couple of blows that I was like, oh.
Well, the first one was the only one that mattered to me. The rest of it, it was obviously going to happen. But the woman's right, I think they call it, which is a solid name for
a punch. That's not bad. Yeah,
I'll give it to her. That hurt my chin.
She rocked her.
She really did.
That was a good shot. And then she landed a couple of clubs to the back where I was like, oh, okay, they're really going at each other here.
But with that said, I was already done with Lacey Evans. I saw her in NXT, and she was very, very talented. Very talented. I was already done with her in the main roster because of all the bullshit. The walking down randomly. Great. Woo!
To me, now it gave it all a purpose. She was picking a spot, and she did her thing, and I was like, oh, okay. And now she's automatically important because she did it to Becky, and her and Becky have had a physical confrontation. Was this the first time we've seen Lacey get physical on the main roster?
I'm almost 100% sure that's the first time, period, on the main roster.
And that's pretty big, I think. Lacey's got a lot of potential. I want to see this go somewhere. And I want to see Becky's first feud out of the gate be really good. She needs it. It's fresh. Yeah, you're getting away from this main event thing, and now you're the champ, and you got to keep this Stone Cold character, the momentum
that's
building.
That's the key. Towards Mania, the more the man, quote-unquote, spoke, the more she kind of swiveled heel and face.
Yeah.
Before, it was just, I don't care, I'm a heel, whatever. Once she got to really what she wanted to get, it was more back in the middle. I like Becky as a heel more than a face.
But it's her heel character that people are going to cheer. It's going to be, because the best comparison to it is Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And the more heel stuff Stone Cold did, the more people loved him. And that's just kind of the direction this is going in. I'm excited to see where this goes.
I hope so.
Alexa Bliss returns. I'm a big Alexa Bliss fan.
Huge Alexa Bliss fan.
Dear God, is she gorgeous. So she is a very good in-ring competitor, and maybe more than anybody, with the exception of Charlotte and Becky, can get a character over. I know that people are going to boo. Every time Alexa Bliss speaks, she will get the crowd to react.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why she was the host of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But for 2.5 seconds, let's talk about her head slamming off that turnbuckle.
Ooh.
The person with concussion issues that might have post-concussion syndrome, which is why she hasn't wrestled in I don't know how long.
Hasn't been in the ring since January. She was in the Women's Rumble, but that's the only match she's had this calendar year.
Jeez. And she spent the entire post-match celebration like this with her hand on her head.
Yeah,
let's just hope she stays healthy.
Wasn't crazy about that spot. It looked cool.
Oh, it looked amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. But the other thing is, Bayley drops the tag titles night before, whatever. Those tag titles are, it'd be nice if they got over. But
yeah, fine. It was great to see.
The men's tag titles aren't over. So I thought it was cool to put them on the Iconics. Fun moment. Didn't expect it. But I like that Alexa comes out and doesn't lose right away. I like that she comes out, nails the DDT, 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the ring, wins the match.
I would love to see, and if you follow her on Instagram, which of course I do because she's beautiful. By the way, I love you, my girlfriend. I love you, not Alexa, but my girlfriend. I'm sure you love Eva too. I would love to see her implement some of those moves that she's doing in her training videos. The flips, like, she's a lot more talented than she's leading on to.
That she spoke about this in an interview about, because, when she first came up to the main roster, she had a little bit of a different moveset.
Yeah.
And they scaled her back as she got more of a heel. And it's always kind of been, especially now, people who do awesome moves get cheered. Like, Ricochet will always be a babyface. That's just the way it's going to be. They kind of took the Bliss flip away from her, the Sparkle Splash, whatever the hell they call it, and she does that DDT thing, and I guess we're at the point where she's over as a heel. She can start implementing some of that stuff
more. I would
hope
so. Just for a little variety. I think that's my biggest problem with WWE overall is the lack of variety. Like, if you know the story of wrestler A and wrestler B, you could probably call shot for shot how that match is going to go. Oh, suplex here, DDT there, false finish here, false finish there. Shocking regular finish, like,
and that's getting to the triple threat match from the night before. None of the false, no one bought any of the false finishes
exactly.
Because you knew what it had to be. If it wasn't Becky in the middle of the ring, nobody was buying it. And that
exactly.
was just a small nitpick I had with that match. It was still fine, but
I just want the variety back.
Yeah.
I want the, and maybe this is my fault for looking at the internet too much, for staying on Twitter as long as I do during all this stuff. I want the variety. I want the spice back.
Well, here's some spice for you. Dana Brooke has announced her intentions to get into the title picture.
Yay!
I was like, yeah, good for you. You're trying to do something with yourself. It's just like,
but they're giving
anybody,
her TV time to do it.
Yeah, they
which,
are.
That's, which clearly means they're going to allow her to do
I mean,
it at least once.
Looking at her from her from the top of her head to her midsection, I can very much see that, yes, Vince McMahon is a big Dana Brooke fan. I would just have to guess, based on what he likes, Dana Brooke's going to get
yes.
her shot. You know, good for her. She's athletic. She can do different
sure.
things. It's just like, in a crowded women's picture, how far down on the list of Becky Lynch and Dana Brooke, like, is the match I want to see?
I mean, it's farther down than, like, Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross.
I'll take her over. Nikki is another really talented character that they got to figure out something to do with.
But they've put her off to the side. They put
yeah.
her entire faction, Sanity, to the side.
Sanity getting beaten up by The Miz last week.
Let's get to something...
They have really gone out of their way to treat Dean Ambrose differently than any departing wrestler I can remember.
Now, is it because he's married to one of their commentators and they don't want her spouting off at the mouth during his matches?
I think she cares enough about her career that she wouldn't.
I would agree.
I honestly think she got that job because they thought she was leaving. I don't think it was about putting a woman on commentary. I think she was a pretty big sports commentator in Canada before joining
WWE. Super talented, for sure.
She could go to TSN or one of them sports.
I thought she was going to go to ESPN.
Yeah, or ESPN, exactly. She could pretty much go anywhere, and I think she got that job kind of as a...
Don't go to her.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because I think she does actually a really good job. I like hearing...
She's growing into it. No one is good away at this.
Of course not.
No one, I mean...
You don't understand, in radio, in TV, especially in live TV. We're on doing a podcast now. If we slip up, we can stop,
and
erase,
edit it out. And here's
the
thing, if we do slip up, Barchard isn't in our ear screaming at us.
Exactly.
Like Vince McMahon is in their ear every night, telling them what to put over. You know, like, Michael Cole every now and then calls a move, and I'm like, oh, Vince must be taking a piss.
it's she's doing a good job.
Yeah, she's getting it.
I didn't understand her involvement in this final destruction of Dean Ambrose.
It was
thing.
A weird comment. Like, Lashley does the real heel, like Mr. T in Rocky III. I'll take care of your wife for you. And
which I was all in for.
And it's a fine... A lot of times we hear they don't always, like, it's very possible that no one told Renee he was going to say that because they like, I've heard Bruce Pritchard say it a lot, and Eric Bischoff as well, I don't like to produce that stuff because I want the natural reaction.
Right.
And Renee's natural reaction, rightfully, is kind of offended by that. Like,
exactly.
What are you saying? Like, what exactly do you mean? There's a lot of different connotations you could take that, and in 2019, might not be in the best taste, but definitely gets the right heel reaction there, and then we get the destruction of Dean. I really think this is about Dean doesn't have an agreement with AEW yet or to go anywhere, and he's going to go home and chill, and there's a very good possibility we see him in 18 months, or, you know, whenever.
Obviously, we see Hulk Hogan, Undertaker, everybody. These guys go and come 3 weeks.
No, yeah, exactly.
He might decide that this is something he misses and loves and wants to be on the road with his wife again, and there you go.
When he does a run-in at SummerSlam to screw up the, let's call it, Seth Roman match.
Which we already know is coming.
Like, sure. that'll be a big moment. That'll be that's worth going away for. That's sure. Like when we were talking with Kevin about some sort of off season for the boys. You know, not all at once. It's a 365 business, like we said, but time here and there to get away and recharge. This is if that's all Ambrose is doing, this is a perfect opportunity for it.
It's got to be what it is, because not one other wrestler, and again, we know with the dirt sheet era and all that kind of stuff, we know where these guys are going pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Nobody's reported that's where he's going yet. And they've never once in their history acknowledged somebody
like this.
See you later. We love you. Retirements.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, retirements, Kurt Angle's
farewell. But this isn't a retirement.
No, this is, he didn't renew his contract.
So we're going to say goodbye and give him one more TV match.
All right. This last thing I just got to get to, because I was sitting there. I honestly thought that this segment that they ran last night, I thought it was like a Progressive commercial or something. I thought Flo was going to pop up. This puppet thing, people are saying it must be Bray Wyatt. I didn't think it was part of the show. I thought it was a commercial. I was like, what the hell was that?
I literally had no idea what was going on at that moment. Not a clue in the world. It was as we know now, the Buzzard. But I didn't know what that was.
A puppet.
It was literally.
It was a hand puppet.
I pray that we are going to now see Bray walk down just with a bird in his hand. Do his whole thing.
Please.
And like listen to the bird. Just
please,
like,
God. Oh, the bird tells him what this could.
Yeah.
You know what? That's great.
That'd be great.
If he's like, it's Mr. Sacco, but it's also like telling him what to do. Like, this could actually be excellent. If anyone can get this over, it's Bray. Bray is unlimitedly talented. Talk about guys they've screwed up. And I always say, like, hey, get yourself over. Go take a risk and do it yourself. Bray has done everything they've asked him to. And it just, oh, yeah, you lose again. like from day one, hey, he's in there, he's changing things, he's the Cena beat him. Like, okay, so he's just like everyone.
But they keep taking him, and obviously some of this is surgeries and
yeah,
injuries.
That happens too.
They keep taking him out, repackaging him, quote unquote, and putting him back on as the exact same thing.
Yeah, as the exact same thing.
And now you're Bray Wyatt,
just in less of a role.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, you're still Bray, who was going to come in and turn WWE on its head, except you're in a tag team with Matt Hardy. Like, okay, well, this is not probably going
anywhere. At least if it's the Buzzard, Al Snow's head, Mr. Sacco combination, I'll be all for it.
I'm actually all for it now. I love it now. I think this is great. I thought this was terrible, because I just didn't think...
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I was like, is this... I thought it was a Progressive commercial. Straight up. I was like, Flo's... Jamie, what's up?
It's the anti-Flo.
Yeah, no, it was... If this was Bray and it's going to be that, I'm all for it.
For sure.
All right, dude. I think this went well. I liked these Raw recaps.
We'll have to do it again next week.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it again next week. And like I said, we have such a great resource in our hands with Kevin Keenan. We don't always want to be bogged down in, you know, two internet dudes talking about storyline when there's all sorts of other things going on that we can get out of Kevin. So this gives Turtle and I the opportunity to, you know, get into everything else, get into the storyline.
Wrestling nerds unite.
Do some wrestling nerd, do some smart stuff. We are the Smarks of Smarks and Stripes. That's it for this week. See you Thursday.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.